from the EQC studio. Welcome to The Top Step with Ryan Mullen-Smith.
How we going, mates? Welcome to The Top Step. It's Ryan Mullen-Smith, and we are inside the EQC studios. I am so excited for the Mariners season to get started, but I'm even more excited that The Top Step, it used to be a podcast only, now it is a full-blown TV show. So let me give you a little background. Now, if you're a fan of The Top Step, you've been listening to the podcast, and I've had Mariners on the show, I've had, you know, characters from all over Major League Baseball. Well, now we're a TV show, and a huge thanks to Root Sports for making this a weekly Mariners show. We're going to get down to the ballpark, get behind the scenes, get all your favorite players joining me, whether it's here in the EQC studio or whether it's on site down at the ballpark. We're going to talk about the top trends, what's happening around the Seattle Mariners, all over Major League Baseball. And then we're also going to have some fun with you, the viewer. We are going to keep the last segment. I'm going to have some friends on the show, just like this episode today. I'm also going to answer your questions, whether it's on social media. So if you got any questions or anything you want me to talk about or dive into, let me know at The Top Step over at X or on Instagram, or you can hit me up at -18. All right. Now, you know what the show is. It's going to be your weekly Mariners show every single week, coming to you every week right here in the EQC studios. But let's get into what we're going to start every show with, the top trends. I'm going to go with some predictions. Why not, right? We've just kicked off the baseball season, and we're going to go with win totals. This is a fun thing that everyone likes to jump on, whether it's Major League Baseball, whether it's USA Today, FanGraphs, they got their Zips, whatever that means, Zips prediction. Someone help me out what Zips stands for. I got no idea, but let's have some fun. Everyone's hovering around. I hear this all the time, whether it's down at spring training, whether it's around hanging out the town, around town or around the ballpark, whatever it may be. Everyone's asking me, hey, what do you think is some of the projections for the Mariners win-loss record? I'm like, well, what are they? I don't like to follow them because anything can happen, as we all know. But the big one is FanGraphs have got them at 85 games and 85 games. USA Today had them, I think, at 88, 89 games. Right, but I'm going to go, as you know me from the broadcast, right? I like to go glass half full. I like to go captain positive all the time. Let's call it 95 wins. Let's just imagine the Mariners are capable of 95 wins, which they are. How are they able to get to 95 wins? And this is what I've come up with. These three things kind of have to happen. All right, number one. Julio Rodriguez, we all know he's the spark plug to this offense. He's like the all-spark if the Mariners lineup was Cybertron. Yes, that's a Transformers reference. I had to throw it in there. If you're a Transformers fan or not, go look it up. It makes perfect sense. Now, Julio Rodriguez last year, 30-plus bombs, 100 ribbies. He had a great year, but he wasn't happy about it, man. He will be the first to tell you, he is capable of just transcending his career, the status he has, into another stratosphere. I'm using some big words today. I'm talking about Transformers, planets, the whole bit. Look, Julio Rodriguez, this is what I'm saying from him, and this is what's something you can watch early on. Look at that ground ball rate. Now, I'm going to focus in on the ground ball rate. You can focus in on different things with Julio, but check it out. In the first half of the season, we all know his numbers are a little bit lackluster. He was taken a little bit. There's big expectations. But one thing that really stood out to me, the ground ball rate for Julio Rodriguez was 47.6%. That's nearly half the time throughout the whole season. Well, the month of June, when I felt like, man, this is kind of that make or break time, that skyrocketed to a good 55, 56% with the ground ball rate. That's well over half. That's, even though the dude is top five in exit velo, top 5% in exit velocity off the bat, yeah, that ball can shoot through the infield like it's Little League, sure. But man, you got to see him get the ball in the air. And then what happened in the month of August? This is where the Mariners went off. And I talked about him being the spark plug. Look, his numbers in August, 429 batting average, OPS over 1,000, 7 bombs. He was ridiculous. And the one thing that stood out to me, that ground ball rate plummeted down to a healthy 41.7%. When he gets the ball off the ground. Now, I want to make a distinction here. Scott Service said he's got to get the ball in the air a little bit more. I'm saying just get the ball off the ground. If he keeps that ball just line driving, we all know he can drive the ball out of the ballpark. His confidence goes through the roof too when that launch angle starts to creep off the ground a little bit. So that's number one. Julio Rodriguez, watch that ground ball rate. Mariner fans, check it out. If it's hovering around the bottom of the 40%, he's in good shape. All right, number two, the rotation. Yes, it's the strength of this team. We all know that. But the two of the five guys in Bryce Miller and Brian Wu, I'm going to focus on them. They're the X factor. The Mariners, as good as it can be, the rotation, you still have two dudes who have to still kind of prove that they can go a six-month solid season. And they can. I'm sure they can. But how are they going to do it? First of all, Bryce Miller, last year, he had the blister injury. And I feel like that was a little bit of a blessing in disguise because it gave him a little bit of a breather. It really did. And then he came back and he finished the year strong. But with him, stamina, he talked about it too, getting into a good rhythm, that major league schedule where you got to pitch with adrenaline filled. It's tough. You start opening day and you're looking down the barrel of, man, 6 months I got to repeat this, especially when you're having success, it can wear on you. So if Bryce Miller can keep that stamina going with that new split, have you seen it? We're going to see plenty of it. That's another pitch too, recovery-wise. Logan Gilbert took a little bit last year trying to recover from that split. In other words, Logan talked about in the beginning of the season, he didn't quite know how to recover, so you didn't see the split as much. As he got into a rhythm, he was good to go. Bryce Miller's now throwing a split, so we'll see how he looks. Hopefully, he can pitch a good 6 months, man, because this kid is so, so talented. Brian Wu. Now, I know he's starting the season on the injured list with right elbow inflammation. It shouldn't be too long, but when he comes back, he'll need to figure out a way to get lefties out. Lefties did some serious damage, especially halfway through the year last year against Brian Wu. His changeup, he lost some confidence in that changeup. That's a great pitch right on left. He kind of put it in the back pocket. He went 70% fastballs at the end of the year. And his fastball's filthy. We all know that. But if you're talking a good 6 months, man, you got to have that secondary pitch to get lefties out. So that's going to be interesting. Focus on him and see how he does against lefties to start the year. All right. My third factor here to get that 95. We're talking 95 wins, right? How do we get the 95 wins? You've got to have three of the newcomers stay, finish the sentence. They've got to stay healthy. I'm talking about Mitch Garver. I'm talking about Polanco. I'm talking about Mitch Haniger. Three of these guys. Last year, they had some injuries. They're on the other side of 30 now. Super talented. I'm so excited and so happy with what happened. Has this offseason finished up with some of the new additions. I love it. But man, just keep these guys on the field. Training staff, it's on you. You're the X factor. No, I'm kidding. But if the three of these guys can stay healthy, we're talking 90-plus wins. I don't think the upper 80s is going to do it. You're leaving too much a chance. But this team is capable with three of those things. All right, coming up, I have a chance to hang out with one of the best players to ever put on a Mariners uniform on top of the dugout, sit down with the King, King Felix. You notice how he's starting to come back in town? I love this. The Mariners, they do a great job of starting to bring these legends back to town. I get a chance to sit down with Felix, talk about his time in Seattle, all the good stuff. So stick around right here on the Top Step.
I live in Tacoma, and I'm all about the action. From making a run at the tables to multiple pay lines on my favorite machines. Game time. The sportsbook is better than being on the 50-yard line. Or sitting courtside. I'm here for it. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
Guys, please welcome Mariners Hall of Famer, the one, the only, the King, King Felix.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me here. I'm freezing. I'm not used to this weather now. Yeah. That Miami life got me.
Well, you've been popping up more and more, I mean, last couple of years, right? Going back to the epic surprise we had the first pitch, the Mariners' first playoff game for a long time, out came Felix Hernandez. I want to ask you, kicking off with that, the first time we'd seen you here for a while was that first pitch, the ceremonial first pitch. How'd that all come about? Someone gave you a call and said, hey, listen.
Joe Stanton called me. He said, you want to throw the first pitch on the playoff game? That would be awesome.
Really? So there was no hesitation?
No hesitation.
No hesitation.
No.
Was that a situation you were watching the Mariners? You were paying attention to what they were doing that year?
I was watching the guys. I know they were close and they're having a great year.
And then going, obviously, last year to Mariners Hall of Fame, you know, coming out,
basically, I love when you came out too, by the way. You know, this is my house. I loved it.
This is my, still my house.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a special, man. That was kind of the, that day was unbelievable. I'll never forget that day.
Well, one of my favorite moments from that day was Adrian Beltre came out. Yeah. He kind of crashed the party. Your good buddy, Adrian Beltre. When he came out, because I've watched that clip a couple times, what did he say to you? Gave you a big hug, and what did he say?
He said, I was not going to miss this. And we just came in back from Dubai. So he get back to LA, and then I didn't even know he was coming.
You didn't know he was coming?
No. And he surprised me. That was a good surprise.
Obviously, opening day coming around. Everyone's so excited, you know, for opening day. Do you have a certain opening day that sticks out to you, which was a huge memory or your favorite opening day?
Yes, I have one. Well, all the 11 opening days that I pitched, it was fun. But the 2007 one, when my mom was in the stand watching me for the first time here, that was pretty special.
I remember, I think it was 2006, Daisuke Matsuzaka was making his debut in Boston.
In Boston, yes. Sorry about it.
Well, guys, it's some of you younger.
That was a great game, man. But you know what? My elbow was in pain that day.
Really?
Yes. After that start, I went to the IL.
So the reason I bring that up is because Daisuke Matsuzaka, Japanese pitcher, was coming over. Obviously, there's so much hype about Daisuke making his debut at Fenway Park, and he was up against a young King Felix. And at that point, you know, obviously you had the nickname at that point, the King.
Yeah.
But Felix basically just stole the show. It was a nationally televised game.
Yes, sir.
And he just absolutely. You remember that night?
I was like, it ain't gonna happen. This is gonna. It's gonna be my game.
See, one thing, guys, and for a lot of the Mariner fans, that for me, getting a chance to play with you when you were at your absolute peak, and really when you went from, you know, being a younger pitcher, so much obviously physically off the charts, stuff-wise, everything else. I mean, we played with each other back in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
But I remember, for me, the difference was, and I'm talking 2007, 2008, 2009, those years, the difference was, it wasn't about stuff for me, it was about that presence you had on the mound. I mean, this guy could walk into any place, you know, East Coast, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and it was his house. It really was.
Yeah, man. I mean, I love to pitch in those kind of big stadium, you know, the big scenario. I kind of like the challenge, and I go out there and have fun and do my thing.
When did that start? Like, when did you feel like you were that comfortable? Didn't matter where you were pitching. It didn't matter who you were up against, that you were like, you know what, I'm just going to absolutely take control of this game.
I mean, it started since 2007. 2005, I was 19 years old. I was just a young boy. Throw hard with the breaking ball. And then 2007, I came out with the slider. But 2009, when my career took off, when I started throwing my change and I messed up my break, and that's when my career took off.
So you think that changeup was that separated for you 2009?
Oh yeah, it made me rich.
How did that come about? Was there another teammate that said, hey, throw it like this?
I was just playing around with the grip and I started throwing and I felt comfortable. And I started throwing again, righties, lefties, whatever. And that ball was dropping to the table.
Yeah, it was filthy. We all know that was, like Charlie Ferber said, it was a power changeup. It was different, right? And everyone would say too, I remember, they're like, oh, he throws that pitch too hard. It's like, no, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It looked like it was 92 miles an hour and the ball was dropping. Like, it was like, okay, I'm keeping this.
Is that something you got comfortable with in spring training or as that season got going?
I started throwing in spring training and started working on it because I don't have a changer. I don't have any good changer. I have my slider, I have my breaking ball, my sinker, but I need something else.
Yeah.
And I started playing with the grip and came out really good.
When you're watching this current team and the starting rotation, you got Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Luis Castillo. Is there someone you watch that you enjoy watching on this current team?
I like watching Castillo. I mean, the way he attacks the hitters, I mean, he throw a lot of strikes. He don't scare on anybody. He's just going to, you're going to hit me? There you go, hit me. So, I mean, I'm kind of like that, too. So, always trying to attack the hitters. If you want to hit me, you're going to hit me. If you're not going to hit me.
We've got some young fans here. You've obviously got kids. What is that biggest piece of advice? Because we have so many pitching gurus out there on social media about trying to throw gas and doing this with a breaking ball. So much information, so many analytics. What's that piece of advice you would give, say, a 12-year-old kid when it comes to pitching?
Just keep fighting for your dreams. I mean, if you believe in yourself and you keep for your dreams, then you're always going to get there. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not gonna be that guy. That's it. And don't look too much computers and analytics stuff. That's why I'm retired.
Well, what's your take on that now? I mean, pitching is so different now with all the information. What would your approach have been if you were pitching 2024? I know it's seeped in towards the end of your career, obviously, with the analytics and stuff like that. But what would be your approach if you were pitching 2024? Is that something you would take on, or?
No, I'm go out there and compete. I'm not looking at analytics and the scouting report and you have to pitch like this. No, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna trust what I have.
I love it. I love it. Guys, round of applause for Felix. It's so good to see you back.
Thank you for having me.
I live in Tacoma, and I'm all about the action. From making a run at the tables to multiple pay lines on my favorite machines. Game time. The sportsbook is better than being on the 50-yard line or sitting courtside. I'm here for it. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
The Top Step with Ryan Roland Smith is presented by EQC, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
All right, welcome back inside the EQC studio. Listen, if you enjoyed that sit down with Felix Hernandez or anyone who we get a chance to chat to right here on the Top Step, go to YouTube, go subscribe. You can watch the extended version, the whole thing. You can watch all kinds of content over at YouTube. Now, speaking of old teammates, I've got Eric O'Flaherty, 10 plus years in the big leagues, Brandon Morrow, 10 plus years in the big leagues. They both started their major league career right here in Seattle and now teammates with Felix. But hey, guys, listen, I want to talk about Eric. You got up before us. You got up in what, 06, yep. Right? Okay, so he was a 19-year-old in 2005. In 2006, if you remember, walking in the clubhouse, and there was so much focus on Felix because he was so good. But was he still getting the rookie treatment just like you were in 2006? Or was he already kind of like pushed, like pardoned a little bit at that point?
He was definitely safer. Yeah, you know, I mean, like they'd get on him and stuff, but nobody was going to ride him too hard because I think everybody understood how special he was and that he was going to be there for a long time. And, you know, yeah. Number one prospect in the system. And this was back when, you know, not a lot of pitchers threw 97, 98 with his curveball. So I think everybody kind of understood how important he was. And it was more like little brother stuff, you know, with him, the way they treated him versus some of us. Like if you're a rookie nobody's ever heard of and you're a relief pitcher, you haven't even been in big league camp, like you're just, you're a target.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. And by the way, too, I remember, speaking of Felix, because just a couple years before that, I played A-ball with him, and I never forget. And you guys, well, look, Brandon, it took you, you know, 3 days to get to the big league. So you didn't have the same minor league journey, I'll say, as me and Eric, right? But so he gets to, I think he was 18. He's in high A, like advanced A. That was in the Cal League. It's now Everett. But I think he went from Everett. He skipped over short low A and went straight to high A back when it was like that. And I remember he makes that team and you had that like salty coach or those players. Oh, he's too young to be here. Oh, he's going to get owned. And I'm like, no, he's not. It was ridiculous. Like here he is, this, and he was a kid to me because I mean, I'm older than him.
Yep.
And he's just flat out dominating. And then he goes to double A. And then sure enough, as we all know, he goes straight to the big leagues. And even then, everyone's like, oh, this kid, he's too young, and everyone's, you know, they call him the king. And it was so funny. Everyone still had that kind of mentality with him, even though he was so dominant. Because, man, like, he was just different. And I know, Eric, you bumped into him for a second, right, in the minor leagues. And then literally a couple years later, you mentioned the fact you were in the big leagues. When, with him, What was your relationship like with him from the get-go and by the time you left Seattle? Your last year in Seattle was 2008. Do you feel like you had a good relationship with Felix? Even though he was... And the reason I'm asking this is because it's weird, man. He's younger than you. Yeah. So you feel like you had that seniority, but it's Felix Hernandez. Like, what was your relationship like with him as teammates?
He was always kind of just larger than life, you know? I mean, he knew how good he was. But at the same time, we got along, and I'd actually see him randomly throughout Bellevue, you know, driving, see him at the mall. I saw him at LA Fitness playing in a pickup game one time. You know, like I would just run into him randomly, and he was always cool. And he didn't have to, you know. Sometimes I wouldn't see him. He'd come over and say hi to me and catch up. But he was the first guy I saw throw in pro ball. So I signed, did my physical, and I wasn't in uniform, so I had to sit sit in the bleachers where the guys are doing the gun and the books. And he's the first guy I see throw. So I'm like, let me see what these pro ball guys are doing. He's sitting 97 and throwing a curveball that's breaking 3 feet. The guys are swinging and missing it by 2 feet. And I watched it, and I called my dad that night, and I was like, if this is what the guys here do, I'm not going to be in this. Like, I have no shot. But luckily, you know, right. the next couple of days, you get the normal rookie ball game for guys who are throwing stuff off the backstop and walking everybody. And I was like, all right, maybe I can make it.
Now, Brandon, you came up in 07, or you made the team in 07. I noticed something, man, with Felix, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, but 2007, I felt like he was, you know, I get it. He's the king, and I felt like he took himself super seriously and like was all business. And then when Carlos Silva, you remember that signing, Carlos mm-hmm. Silva in 2008, he rolls in. Now, Carlos Silva, man, he had a terrible time here in Seattle. We all know that, right? And people are probably rolling their eyes. But he did something I feel like to feel. He just chilled Felix out. I mean, they started being clowns in the dugout, if you remember. Do you feel the same way? Like, do you feel like he was different? He was different with me, man. Like, I went from being in the bullpen, and then you and I, you know, we're in the rotation. So it's a little bit different relationship. But I felt like he was way more chilled, way more cooler with everyone when he had like Carlos Silva there, because they were acting like clowns all the time in a good way. You know what I mean?
I've been taking the pressure off him. Just like Carlos came in, he was like Felix's big brother, you know, and he was having such a good time, and then pulling in Felix along with him definitely loosened up the vibe in there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just, you know, it's funny when teammates do that, but he was so different. And yeah, you know, Carlos was the man, dude. He was great. He was great with me. I know he was struggling, so he wasn't having a great time, but I just feel like the whole thing you see like with Felix and Beltre, that was kind of like the real version of him.
Yeah.
And I feel like it kind of started in 2008. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it takes a while to get comfortable up there, no matter who you are. I mean, there's so much hype around Felix. Felix was like LeBron coming up, man. You know, even like before I was drafted by the Mariners or affiliated with anybody, I know who Felix was. Everybody knew who Felix was. There was so much hype coming up, and it really was like the next coming of, you know, Cy Young.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week on The Top Step. Now, if you want to watch the entire interview with Felix Hernandez or the entire chat with Brandon Morrow, Eric O'Flaherty, go to YouTube. Go subscribe. You can check out the full-length version of the interview or all the content we have going on The Top Step. And I appreciate you joining me for this premiere episode. We've got plenty more coming up next week right here on The Top Step.